Hallelujah. I have two scriptures to share here, both very short. The first is from Job 14:4. I'll just read it. It says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Matthew 12:34. That's where we'll be most of the time in Matthew. Matthew 12:34. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Father, whether it brings instruction, reproof, correction, whatever, Lord God, we just receive it, we accept it, Father, and I pray that it will do its perfect work in each one of us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we want to be transformed. Renewing of our mind, Lord God, that we might conform to the image of Christ Jesus, our Savior, in all things, Father God, Lord, and know that whether we live or die, we are His. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Father, transform us, Lord. Do that work from the inside out that is so necessary, Father, for us to cling to you and draw ever closer to you, as the words that came forth here said, Lord God. We want to be ever closer to our Savior. Hallelujah. Just a closer walk with thee, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Please be seated. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one.
One.
For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
That's a fact.
You know, we all have lifestyles, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Manners of living that reflect our attitudes, our preferences. God made each one of us unique. Just as each snowflake is unique, we're unique.
Yes.
And when we get to heaven, and it talks about us being, what's that? All right. Being jewels, the various facets of us as jewels will glorify God in very unique ways when we are finally with Him forever and ever. Like I said before, He created us for a plan and a purpose. Each one of us is precious in His sight. And each one of us is unique and different. Yes, peculiar. We are a peculiar people. Praise be to God. We have the lifestyles of the rich and famous. We have the lifestyles, alternate lifestyles, which is really a euphemism for you know what. Some people are casual, some people are classical, some are disciplined, some are easygoing, some are uptight. We're all different in our unique ways, and we're all influenced by our upbringing, our temperament, our conditioning, our experiences, things that we've gone through. And our lifestyle is an outward expression of our inner motivation, isn't it? When Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, He was referring to more than just the words that we speak, and to the broader reach of our internal and external habits. He went on to say in the next verse, verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." I can think of a lot of good people, and I can think of a lot of evil people. And unfortunately, our country, I believe, is right now being run by evil people who are doing things that are destructive to us as individuals and us as a nation. And, of course, sticking their fists in the face of God. And God will not bear it. You can't fight with God. You cannot fight with God and expect to win. Amen?
Amen.
Here Jesus is confirming that concept from Job. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Nobody can do it. You know, the context of Jesus' statements was His casting out demons. And the Pharisees accused Him of doing it by the power of Satan, while Jesus said, no, it's by the Spirit of God. He tried to show them that He had come to bind the strong man, Satan, and plunder his domain and his powerful influence over fallen man. He had healed the sick, comforted the brokenhearted, even raised the dead. And he says, either make the tree good, verse 33, and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. You and I are trees, aren't we? Who are known by our fruit. So I said last week, is it fruit that people want to pick, they want to partake of, or is it fruit that they would shun and shy away from? Jesus was saying, you've seen the fruit of my ministry, and it couldn't come from a bad tree. It had to come from a good one. You know, James, the Lord's brother, half-brother, expressed the same concept in his epistle using different symbolism. I'll be quoting James 3, 10 to 13. He says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, you and I can stand here and worship the Lord and read Scripture and pronounce Scripture and yet go out and speak evil against someone in another context because they annoy us or they've, you know, done us what we consider wrong. And James says, it shouldn't be. You can't have blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. Either it's good or it's not good. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation or lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom produces meekness. You know, when we're younger, we think we know it all. We had all the answers. And then we grow older and develop some degree of wisdom. And then we're not so boastful anymore because we've been hewn and shaped by our experiences in life. Some good, some bad, some hurtful, some trying, some trials that shape us and mold us into wiser human beings. And wisdom has to produce meekness. Wisdom will never produce boasting, only meekness. For the tree is known by his fruit, Jesus said. And the tree, of course, is connected to its roots. Bad roots, bad fruits. Good roots, good fruits. What is in our hearts represents the roots. The tree is our visible person, and the fruits are our total lifestyle, and they're all interdependent. And God is working on different aspects, different dimensions, all the time, and trying to bring them into a harmony that will be a person bearing good fruit for the kingdom of God. Man looks on the outward person, that's the tree and the fruit. God looks upon the heart, the root. He knows that if the inward man is in right standing with himself, the outward conversation or lifestyle will reflect it. You know, God through Jesus has given us good roots, hasn't he? He's implanted really good roots in there, and he's growing the tree and the fruit on a daily basis. But there are other roots that still have a hold on us. Amen? If we're honest with ourselves, and they can be stubborn in their clinging. You know, I don't know about you. Do you ever take an axe or a hatchet and try to chop a root? And it bounces right off, and you almost hit yourself in the head and knock yourself out. Those roots are strong, and they cling, and they're stubborn, and they don't want to be chopped down. You know, you can name most of them: stubbornness, bitterness, lust, covetousness. There's an interesting scripture in Isaiah that takes from the natural and applies it to the spiritual. Isaiah 14. 28:30, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent, and I will kill thy root with famine. That's what God wants to do to all those bad roots that are in us, that are still clinging to us. He wants to starve them to death. He wants us to starve them to death by not sowing to them, by not going there. You know, how many times have we said to each other, oh, don't go there. You don't want to go there. And God is saying, you don't want to go there. There are places, there are roots in you that are still have a hold, and you don't want to go there. Because if you sow to them, you're going to overshadow the good fruit that I'm trying to produce in you. Jesus will lay the axe to the root if we're willing to starve them and not feed them on a regular basis. You know, it takes work to be a Christian. It takes work to discipline the mind and the heart and get it going repeatedly in the right direction along with the will and the Word of God. Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are his children. And he is constantly searching us from the inside out and pointing out to us, if we'll listen to those rhema words, here's something that has to go. Here's something that we're going to work on together and get this out of your life and get this pattern overridden by my spirit. And it takes work. We have to be willing to work alongside the Lord as he does the work in us. You know, I've had, we've all had, I'm sure, instant deliverances from certain things. And other things have taken a long time, and they're still ongoing. God is doing the work in those other areas. And, you know, me, I'm like, well, God, Lord, you delivered me in there in 2 seconds. Why can't you do it in this area, too? And, you know, we're anxious sometimes and impatient. But God's timing, as Craig said earlier, is always perfect. Amen? And he will get us there on time. It's in the crucible. You know, the crucible is a place where that fiery place of heat and extreme pressure, that the fruits reflecting the tree, which reflect the roots, become apparent. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. It's not easy, is it, to rejoice in fiery trials? Why? Because God is laying the axe to the root. In the crucible, the real substance is revealed. The real person is revealed. The truth of the root is revealed. What is my root? What is the underlying thing in there? Am I willing to admit that I am less than what I've strived to appear to be? You know, we always want to appear to be, you know, good, decent person, upright, this, that, the other thing. And yet we know that in ourselves dwelleth no good thing. You know, I know what I'm like, because I spend 24 hours a day with me, you know? And I know what I'm like, and I know thoughts that go through my head. And I know certain habits that I have, and I know certain, you know, outworkings, and I know certain buttons that can be pushed are going to, you know, make me react in certain ways. I know myself very well. But am I willing to give God the permission to transform me? You know, that's where it starts. You know, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Am I willing to allow him to lay his axe to every root that doesn't spring from his life and sever all distorted ties to things that don't profit? That's a big step, you know. I don't know how many times I've knelt before the Lord asking him to take something away or to transform me in a certain area. And he goes right to work, you know. He doesn't let any grow under his feet. What's the word I want? Moss. He goes right to work and says, okay, come on, we're going to do it. And then the first obstacle I hit, because he's using that obstacle in order to begin that transformative process, I'm like, well, God, I didn't expect it to be this way. You know? What are you doing? You know, I step right out. I want to be with you. I want to be close to you. And boom, I run right into a wall. He says, who do you think put the wall there? There's a reason for it. You want to be transformed? We're going to do it my way, not your way. You know, you want to do it your way? Go to a psychiatrist or go to a motivational speaker, Tony Robbins or whatever that guy's name is or whatever. But no, if you want to do it my way, here's how it's going to be. You just take it step by step, trust me, and trust what I'm doing in you and for you and with you, and we'll get the job done. Am I willing to forego something that I've quoted I don't know how many times before, the chambers of my imagery? And I get that phrase from Ezekiel 8:12. This is where the Spirit of the Lord takes Ezekiel and takes him beneath the temple and shows him what's going on among the priests of God. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. What he's talking about there, in spiritual terms, is the imaginations of our minds and our hearts. What we do in secret, when we think no one is watching. And of course, there's somebody who is always watching, isn't there? His name is God Almighty. The inner workings of my life that determine my outer countenance. Am I willing to allow the Spirit of God within me to determine my lifestyle? My conversation, my conduct. To completely obliterate that fantasy life that I used to supposedly help me through troubling circumstances. I mentioned it last week. Our defense mechanisms that we use when we're going through trials and tough times. You know, one of mine is to, you know, pretend that I'm a great athlete. I'm catching the game-winning pass, or I'm, you know, hitting the home run in the bottom of the ninth. Two outs. And there are some that are none of your business, as some of your mechanisms are none of my business. And I don't want them to be my business.
Amen.
You know, all this springs not from conviction and guilt, but a sense of anticipation. We were talking about the rapture earlier. And that's what produced this message. Looking for the rapture. Thinking of Jesus calling Lazarus forth from the tomb, come forth and shed those grave clothes. I'm bringing you into newness of life.
Amen.
Praise be to God. John 5, beginning with verse 24. Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, God the Father, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I believe he put it in the present tense, because each one of us, when we responded to the Word of God, the voice of God, all of a sudden came to life. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and God called us forth from our own personal grave and said, now live the abundant life. Have life more abundantly. Praise be to God. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." You know, this scripture came to mind this week. I was with someone. Can't get through to him, you know, with that. Of course, the Spirit can. But, you know, he's always asking me things, you know. And I always give him the same answers. I give him the gospel. But he was talking with somebody else at work. And he was saying how has nothing to do with our acts or what we do in this life. You know, God's going to have his way. Right, Rich? And I said, what it's about is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's what's going to determine it. And, you know, then he always shakes his head and goes off. And but he's always going to get the same answer because that's where it's at. He's right in one sense. No, it's not what we do. When it says here, they that have done good, doesn't mean, you know, somebody doing all these charitable works and everything. It means doing the will of God. Whatever his will is in our lives, if we are obedient to that will and walking in the light of it, then we are doing good. You know, we have a cloud of witnesses beyond the circle of those who see us and view us on a regular basis, to whom we'll one day be joined in reunion. I'm praying for the rapture. You know, I don't like what I'm seeing all over the globe. And I'm just praying that God, you know, some people scoff at it, Christians, oh, it's escape hatch, you know, we're going to take over the world, we're going to have dominion, it's going to get better and better. No, it's not, it's going to get worse and worse. And if you want to call it an escape, I don't care what you call it. Just get me out of here. You know, I'm willing. The great escape. Praise be to God. Let's just turn quickly to 1 Thessalonians 4, because like I said, the rapture inspired this message, the thought of the rapture. Because that's the ultimate transformation. When we are raptured and given new bodies, new minds, new everything, that will be the place where we are totally transformed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or who are dead, "that ye sorrow not, even as others," and I love this phrase, "which have no hope." We are not among those who have no hope. We have the blessed hope, don't we? Praise be to God. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." You see what it's saying here? There are people like Donna and so many others who have gone on to be with the Lord. They are asleep or dead in Christ. Not sleeping. No, not soul sleep. Not, you know, zombies or something. They are with Christ in a fashion that we can't fully appreciate. But when the rapture occurs, Jesus is going to bring all of them with him. "And then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him." There's going to be, that's the great reunion.
Hallelujah.
You know, my mother, my father, all these different people have gone on to be with the Lord. Jesus is going to bring them all with him. And we're all going to get our new glorified bodies at once, along with those who are dead in Christ. Praise be to God. And we are to encourage and comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Escape? Yeah. I want to escape.
Amen.
I don't want to be here when, you know, when everything just goes haywire. Yeah. And, you know, things get really tough. Who would want to be? Now, let's just look at a few scriptures here that have to do with our conversation in the sense of our conduct. Psalm 50, verse 23. "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, his conduct aright, will I show the salvation of God." That's one of the roots that God looks for, isn't it? A root of praise. Those who praise me glorify me. Praise be to God. We should always be praising the Lord. We don't need to wait till Sunday morning when Pastor Rich straps on his guitar and now we're going to praise the Lord. We should be filled with an attitude of praise. That should be part of our roots. 2 Corinthians 1:12. "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, or towards mankind, our conduct, and more abundantly to you word." In other words, straightforward and genuine in our dealings with others. No masks, no games, no gossip, no deception, no manipulation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Straightforward. That's right. That should define our conversation, our conduct in this world. Amen. Ephesians 4:22, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Praise be to God. In other words, aligning little by little our thought processes with God's.
Yes.
We have the mind of Christ. And we need to allow His Word to dictate our opinions. You know, I remember, I don't know, it was probably about 2 years ago, a state trooper and his wife came to visit the church. And God had put a message on my heart, and part of it had to do with capital punishment, which is in the Bible. It's both Old and New Testament. You find it in Romans 13 in the New Testament. The state has the right, you know, to exercise the sword, to wield the sword. But I pointed out that if you read in Numbers 35:30 and Deuteronomy 17:6, that God requires at least two witnesses to the murder, to the capital crime, before that person could be put to death. And I could see, you know, the trooper. I knew they'd never come back. And they didn't. He thought I was being weak on capital punishment. You know, I don't want to see anybody die. But it's a valid form of punishment. And it is, I believe, a deterrent. But if you align yourself with the Word of God, you have to have two witnesses in order to convict that person. And I said that, and I knew, you know, he was blown out of the church. But what can you do? You have to align yourself with the Word of God.
Amen.
And whatever it says,
right,
that has to dictate our opinions.
That's right.
You know, I'm the most opinionated person you ever want to meet. I have an opinion on everything. But I'm learning little by little to allow God to form those opinions and His Word. And His will. We can't renew our minds, but He can, and He does and will as far as we are willing to cooperate with Him in the process. You know, as with all things in life, we're offered choices, and our conversation, our conduct will be dictated in large measure by those choices that we make. Choices determine conversation. Conduct. Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." An ongoing awareness that the Lord could come at any moment, and what do we want to be found doing in that instant of rapture? I can think of some things I don't want to have anything to do with when the Lord comes. I can think of other things. It'd be nice to be right here, you know? Preaching, amen, worshiping the Lord, and boom, up we go. Then I can think of other things where I wouldn't, you know, this is not a good time, Lord, don't come now. I don't want to be found like this. 2 Peter 3:11 and 12, just have a little bit more. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In other words, knowing that it's all going to be destroyed anyway, why do we want to cling to anything here?
Yeah.
There's nothing worth clinging to here.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm trying to think if there's anything. I mean, it's good. I love my children, love family members, and I love the body, and there are certain things I love. But there's nothing that I want to hold me down that would keep me or make me look back like Lot's wife, and not want to leave in an instant. Oh, wait, Lord, I just bought a new car and I didn't get a chance to, put too many miles on. Oh, wait, Lord, this or that or the other thing. Is there anything in our lives that we would cling to and say, wait, Lord, I'm not ready yet. I have to do this, or I want to, experience this first. If there is, we better surrender it to God, because when He comes, there's going to be no looking back. There's going to be nothing that we can cling to. It's just going to be gone. And either we want that, or we don't. I want it. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise be to God. Contentment. In context, the Jewish believers were saying, but we were used to having the temple and the priesthood and the Shekinah glory, all these other things. What do we have now? And what Paul was telling them, you have Jesus. What else do you need? He is the temple. He is the priesthood. He is the Shekinah glory of God. He is everything. And, be content with Jesus. You don't need all that ritual. You don't need a temple. You don't need a building. If this building got destroyed, we've already had one got destroyed. We've actually met in a person's garage.
Amen.
We just cleared the place out, and we met in their garage. What difference does it make? We don't need that. If we have Jesus, we have everything.
Amen.
Praise be to God. 1 Peter 1:14a and 15, as obedient children, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We need to be aware of our specialness. We are called of God. We were called before the foundation of the world and set apart from the world, and were to act accordingly. Consecrated unto God, separated from the world and separated unto God. Remember, Jesus said we'll have to give an account. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We're going to have to give an account for every idle word we've spoken, every useless, unedifying thing we've ever said. And He said, your words will either justify you or they'll condemn you. Doesn't mean we're going to lose our salvation because we let our mouth drone on too many times, but we'll lose reward. And here, we'll be good for nothing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's what it says in Proverbs. David said in Psalm 39, verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep or restrain my mouth with a bridle. That bridle is our will, isn't it? There are things that I would have said that I find myself saying, no, shut up,
Yes.
That doesn't have to come forth. It's not edifying. It's useless.
Yeah.
It's not going to do you any good, and it's not going to do the hearer any good. So just shut your mouth. And I think the more we do that, the better off we're going to be. Pray that the abundance of our hearts might be of love and peace and joy and all the other fruit of the Spirit. We need to eat heart-healthy meals, don't we?
Amen.
And that comes from the Word of God. That comes from imbibing the bread of life. Praise be to God. I'll just close with one more scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4. How do we develop right roots and therefore good fruit and therefore a heart that out of the abundance of it comes forth good things rather than evil things? 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, Timothy here, when this was written, was probably between 30 and 35 years old. And there were elders in the church who were much older than him. Let them not despise your youth. In other words, don't do anything that will give anyone an opportunity or a reason to criticize you or condemn you. But be thou an example of the believers in word. Know the word. Know what it says, and conform your life to the word. In conversation, in other words, conduct. Conduct yourself in a godly fashion. In charity. In love, which suggests that love be the motive for our conduct, that it dictate that conduct, and that it be the goal of our conduct. In spirit, in faith, in other words, faithfulness, in purity or holiness. And then he goes on to address not only Timothy as an individual, but the church. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. You know, God has given each of us a gift, at least one gift, and we shouldn't neglect it. We need to ask the Lord to bear more fruit in those areas of gifting that he has given us. By prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, doesn't mean that the church imparted that gift to Timothy. It just means that they recognized it and affirmed it. Meditate upon these things. In other words, cultivate them. All these things that I'm telling you, Timothy, cultivate them. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all, and take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue with them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, that's not talking about salvation, per se, but the context here is the false teachers and false prophets that had come into the church. And he's saying, you stick with these things. You stick with the word, the gifting, and my spirit, and you won't fall prey to those false teachers, and you will keep others from falling prey to those false teachers and false teachings as well. Again, I'll repeat it. We have to eat heart-healthy meals. In the natural, it's the last thing I eat. But in the spiritual, that's what we need. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We pray that we will allow you to do that work of transformation in us, Lord, that we each need in order to bring us closer to that place, Lord, where out of the abundance of our heart, we will speak good things, godly things, and that our conduct would reflect the life of Jesus and the Spirit within us, Father. Lord, help us to bear good fruit that others want to pick, that others want to partake of, that others want to emulate. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Praise be to God.
Jack, would you close in prayer, please?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we have drawn water from the joy of salvation. And in that day we said, and we are saying, and we will continue to say, praise the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And now You have called us to be about Your business, Lord. You have called us to draw ever closer to You and to serve You. You have called us to occupy and take care of Your business till You come. And Lord, I thank You, Father, that You are changing our hearts and You are bringing us into a place that out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks blessing and not cursing. You have reduced us from the natural into that which is spiritual, for we are born again, born anew of You. And I thank You, Father, for the King is coming, and we are preparing ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our ways, Lord, that when He comes, we will be able to gratefully and abundantly and joyfully enter into the joy of the Lord. For our Lord is coming, His eyes are blazing fire. Oh, how my heart is yearning, He's all my heart's desire. Upon His charger mounted, His vesture dipped in blood, 10,000 saints attendant. His name is the Word of God. And we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yes.
And we praise You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. And You have redeemed us, and You have called us by name. And we desire to walk with joy in the highway of holiness, which is walking in the fruit and the goodness of You. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Your phrase came to me that we're called to be salt and light.
Yes.
Not pepper and fog. Amen. Fog. Praise be to God. Yes, we have a birthday.
Yeah, don't forget the birthday.
David's birthday is tomorrow, right?